sped up when we're on air together because we both know what we're talking about. It's just so crazy to watch this. A little bit of time we have left. What's the off-ramp to this? What does the public do to put pressure on Trump? It's having some effect. But how deep is it? The NDAA, they're still going to try to pass this Israeli takeover of our military and intelligence. And we have the Senate intelligence bill that does similar things. But it did get voted down 60 to 46 yesterday over this issue and others. So we need to keep the pressure on. What is your view on that situation and the Israel lobby openly coming in with $1.3 billion buying off influencers and talk show hosts? I mean, to me, this is totally legal foreign interference, and the public is pretty pissed off about it. Where do you see this going, Matt Bragan?
You know, this merger with Israel and then what you were mentioning before the break with Patrick Byrne and the summary judgment, these things are so un-American. What a farce of a Democratic republic, or whatever you want to call our constitutional republic. It's a total farce when they're going to merge us with a pariah state, a genocidal pariah state, merge our intel and Pentagon, which means that, you know, the little master blaster evil dwarf will really be running the Pentagon and the CIA officially instead of informally. And when a judge can just say, no jury, no trial, you're guilty, I don't recognize this country. So I'm pretty black-pilled about, you know, how do we pull out of this? It's like, you know, we're in an airplane, the engines are on fire, losing altitude, mountains ahead. I don't have like a great prescription other than maybe you better have your own parachute. You know, and just kind of on that line, I got my blue cup here today. The reason that I have my blue cup is it's the only thing that doesn't get stained by the methylene blue. So if you don't support the program, the program goes away. This is self-funding. Just wanted to say that in a little bit of time we have left. But, you know, continuing to educate people, I've given up. You know, if Trump is watching Fox News all day and, you know, basically getting his ego stroked, I guess we have to hope that J.D. Vance or somebody with some sense has more FaceTime with him. I don't know what else we can do. I hope that the admirals and generals refuse to give order to pass down orders to say do something insane like invade.
Gut level, how long do you think this Iran war goes? I mean, I think Iran, until we give them what they want, has the cards and isn't going to stop.
Well, and it kind of reflecting off of the Mike Adams piece, if it took 50 or 60 years to build all this petrochemical and transportation infrastructure, that's huge multinational corporations from around the world, decades and decades to build this. You blow up half of it in a couple months. You don't fix it in a couple months. If it took 50 years to build and you destroy half of it, that's going to maybe, you know, maybe we go into a plunge into a Great Depression and there are no companies coming to fix anything. You know, the problem can become so intertwined that it's not like building these things during peacetime over decades when you can just bring in ships, everything's cool.
And let me back up what you're saying. The plot of the Road Warrior book that it's based on is a long global war just breaks down society, and then the oil and gas infrastructure breaks down and society collapses. But in the real world, you know, the globalists wanted a reset. They wanted to get us off the world economy. So Russia's not exporting now diesel and a bunch of stuff. And people don't understand, we'll just up it. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes years, as you said. So that's going right. to hit us all.
People talk about, well, they'll build another pipeline. I have to go back to we're in a knife fight in a cave. And, you know, I don't know how many cubic inches of air is in your scuba bottle, and you don't know how much is in my scuba bottle. But we can't stay in that cave knife fighting forever, folks. You know, the tanks are running out. And people say, well, we'll build more pipelines. That's like the guys in the cave knife fighting saying, maybe somebody will send me a new air tank. Yeah, well, maybe they won't. And meantime, you're running out of air. This is not Vietnam. We don't have years to spend.
And meanwhile, here. BlackRock loves it. This is all part of a larger plan. Matt Bracken, incredible job.
Population. They think they're going to fly away to Patagonia and New Zealand on their
goal. Fellow Americans, I'm back. The Nixon 28 collection is now available, and I must say, it looks tremendous. Go to the alicejonesstore.com and pick yours up today. You'll be glad you did.
the plane!
Ultimate Power Drink Mix. The fantasy is real, and it's delicious. Visit the alexjonesstore.com today.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Remember about 6 months ago, Reuters had the headline, you can pull it up, federal judge finds Mike Lindell liable in Smartmatic voting machine case. And the judge said in his ruling, you never showed any proof that these machines can be accessed by the internet, but the judge never let him put on a case. He never got in front of a jury. Now, everybody knows they've got wireless phones in them. Everybody knows they plug into the internet. He'd proven that Smartmatic was, during the elections, jumping in and out of them. So was the other companies sending in even technicians. It'd be like a judge saying, well, you say the sky's blue, but we're not going to let you go outside to show that's the fact. I say it's not. A federal judge in Minnesota has ruled that MyPillow, let's put it back up there, MyPillow, put that headline back up. I want to read that to people. That's important. A federal judge in Minnesota has ruled that MyPillow founder Mike Lindell defamed election technology company Smartmatic by falsely claiming his voting machines helped rig the 2020 presidential election. The judge said in the ruling, I read it on air last year, you never proved these machines could even be accessed when the damn things are basically laptops. Now, and you have all the famous cases, all the Democrats talking about it for decades. I mean, it's ridiculous. Now, why do I raise that before we go to Patrick Byrne? I was found civilly liable in Texas and Connecticut for lack of discovery and then defaulted, and they had trials on the damages where I could not defend myself, and they would put up financial experts that never looked at my books and said, he has $380 million in the bank. I've never had $10 million in the bank. Never made $380 million gross. I probably sold $50 million worth of water filters and make 30% on them over the years. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's the level of this, okay? That's the level. I mean, I drive a Ford truck. I mean, I've had a war chest before built up, and I'm spending on stuff. But I mean, I never was this. But they said I had all these money. I made it off them. They could say I peed on graves. No one peed on graves, and I couldn't respond back. And so we're getting used to this now. They did this to Trump some too, where the judges would find him guilty. And now it's happened to Patrick Byrne. Hunter Biden sued him, and a judge, overhead shot, USA Today, Hunter Biden wins $1.7 million from former Overstock CEO in defamation case. A judge has awarded. No jury, no nothing. Hunter Biden. And he goes on to say, I say it's not true what you said, and I say you did it to hurt Hunter Biden. Well, what did he say about Hunter Biden? And I'll say this. People, the left threatens me all day long when I do anything. They say, you better watch it or you get sued. I mean, I got $1.5 billion fake judgment that's not as chargeable. So, I mean, it's like saying, you've already been shot with 500 bullets. We're going to shoot you with 10 more. I'm like, okay. So the lawsuit filed by Biden centered on claims Byrne made interviews and online that Biden had sought $800 million bribe from Iran while his father, former President Joe Biden, was in office. And then you got all that stuff with him on his laptop and all the rest of it. Just recordings he made. The head of Chinese intelligence. He's worth billions. I haven't talked to him in months. I don't know where he is. It's like the idea here. The lawsuit filed by Biden centered on that. Biden denied the allegations, accusing Byrne of knowingly spreading false information designed to damage his reputation. The case has been scheduled for jury trial, but Wilson entered a default judgment. Look at this. But Wilson entered a default judgment after Byrne prepared to appear, and the judge said he repeatedly disobeyed court orders and delayed proceedings. Now, we're going to find out if that's true, but I'm going to briefly just go to him and I'll shut up. But I've lived this, so I can speak to it as a firsthand person. I got the car tire marks on me being run over by this. I was defaulted for not giving them Google Analytics on advertising sales on Sandy Hook. Never sold a Sandy Hook product. Our advertisements have nothing to do with what I'm covering. Topic-wise, you know, at the end of the show, I'll say, here's our collectible silver coins, here's our water filtration system, here's our new line of T-shirts. It's all very clear. Here's the ad or a sponsor. Oh, this sponsor, you know, has great zeolites, or this sponsor, you know, has online banking for you and it won't cancel you in your merchant account. It's like cut and dry. It has nothing to do with the topic. It's like, and now we're going to break. So, you know, win a new Corvette, whatever. I mean, or whatever local ad you're hearing. So I was defaulted for that. And then in the deposition, we learned that Hillary Clinton, when we were deposing the heads of these Democrat anti-gun charities, that Hillary Clinton was involved and at these meetings with them. And so my lawyer said, this is political. I'm going to try to depose her. The judge said, you're not allowed to do that. That was strike two. And then what was the other? What was strike three? It was something totally retarded. But the point was, it'll pop my head in a minute. The point is, none of it was substantive. None of it was not giving them what they wanted. They had no case. They got our emails, our records, all of it. And they just sat there and said that I'd done these terrible things and then defaulted me, all in coordination. So I'm sued like 3-4 years before, but they coordinated them all before the midterms perfectly in 2022 in August and September to have the two show trials on national TV back to back and on every channel. So in a minute, it'll pop in my head what the third strike was, but I'm going to shut up now and go to Patrick Byrne and his lawyer. Patrick Byrne is at Patrick Byrne, B-Y-R-N-E on X, enemy within docuseries.com. And I'm not going to go over his whole bio. Most of you know about the big multi-million dollar companies he's running, all the rest of it. And he wants to get a Hunter Biden lawsuit, election rigging coming up in a few months. Trump's big speech Thursday night. Of what foreign power is it that he says he has proof? I'm guessing it's Venezuela and China. That's what Patrick Byrne's expertise has been, working for U.S. intelligence, but that's been declassified partially. He doesn't want to get into it. And Stephanie Lambert is a lawyer from Detroit, and she's his lawyer on this, stephanielambert.com, on litigation, constitutional law, criminal defense, and civil rights cases. Stephanie Lambert's here. So that's my introduction to this. But the fun part about being defaulted is I got to have the trial on damages where then they could say whatever they wanted. And that was a lot of fun, not being able to respond. The judges both read me the same list of 20 things I couldn't say. Couldn't say I was bankrupt. Couldn't say I was innocent. Couldn't ask certain questions. So there's the table set. Thanks for holding while I was going over that. Patrick, you can take it first, or Stephanie can come in. Because I know usually when somebody has their lawyer there, it's obviously for a reason, to make sure you dot I's and cross T's. So you guys can kind of be the conductors here now.
Okay, well, first, Alex, thanks for having us on. Let me remind you that third thing you were searching for, they claimed that they wanted your spreadsheets where you had to analyze as a business proposition if you covered Sandy Hook one way versus another, what it was worth to you. I was once with some law professors who were talking about your case, and they were chortling about it. And I said, look, I know Alex Jones. I promise you, there is no PowerPoint. There is no spreadsheet where he analyzed it like you imagine he did. Was I fair in guessing that, Alex?
Yeah. Exactly. I'd forgotten that. It was a ledger. So the court ordered us to create ledgers of accounting we didn't have. And then they found like some 10-year-old accounting or something where another accountant had made their own ledgers on something totally different. It had nothing to do with Sandy Hook. So they go, look, this was called a spreadsheet. Exactly. It was all just total crap.
And because you wouldn't turn it over because it didn't exist, they said, aha, the judge says, I find that Alex is hiding it. And you, the jury, I'm giving a default judgment because he's hiding it. We're just going to go to damages.
Patrick, I'm impressed that you know more about my case than I do. You're right. I remember that now.
I brought Stephanie, who is the most important election lawyer in America. She's the field marshal over all my election legal activities, not my illegal activities. Stephanie, why don't you say what you want to say about this Hunter Biden case?
Well, first, Alex, I did not follow your case closely, but I do recall seeing an undercover video, I think of a CIA agent, where the agent was disclosing, you know, that they targeted you and they were behind the lawsuit against you. And
yes, well, he'd been FBI and was then currently CIA. And then right. We also have deposed all the people. Now, the head of the FBI in Connecticut created the lawsuits, ran it, and the DOJ funded it to the tune of millions and millions of dollars. And they directly paid for the lawsuits against me.
Right. And just I remember the key question, are you going to continue targeting Alex? And I believe the answer was something like, no, he's broke now. There's no point.
He said, we chopped his legs off. He's right. Bankrupt. Yeah.
Right, right. So transitioning to Patrick's case, it's my opinion that Hunter Biden sued Patrick, not because Patrick lied, because his dad was president and he wanted to gain access through the litigation to the evidence that Patrick was referring to, the recordings, and find out which agents within the government were handling the case to then do something about it, which they did. Remember, Trump was elected November of 24. And December of 24, there was a signed pardon from Daddy to Hunter covering all acts that are addressed in this lawsuit by Patrick. And Patrick turned evidence in and has maintained all along that he gave this evidence to the government. There was a witness to it, a former agent, John Moynihan. Moynihan gave an affidavit in this case that the evidence had been turned, provided to the government. And what was really bizarre, you know, because this case was pending during Biden's presidency, the agent was asked, do you recall receiving this evidence from Patrick? And now the evidence was recordings pertaining to nukes in Iran and the president's son or vice president's son, depending on the timing. And that's significant, right? So police officers, agents, they do routine matters over and over again, drunk drivings, drug cases, over and over. And it would be difficult to recall a detail. But this agent testified for purposes of this case that he couldn't recall if Patrick had given him this evidence. And that just shows you that something really funny was going on during the Biden administration with evidence while this case was pending.
Stephanie, explain, if you would, the oddity about we're supposed to have been able to cross-examine the agent, and both the DOJ got in the way. Biden had a DOJ attorney cover take this a explain what happened about that, how we could not cross-examine.
Well, Patrick wanted to call the agent at trial, testify. We met in a car in D.C. I gave you evidence. He wanted to be able to cross-examine him in front of a jury, but instead the DOJ objected and said, we'll allow him to be deposed. Patrick, through Michael Murphy, his attorney, submitted questions. And those questions were modified and, in fact, given to the agent with misleading statements as to how Patrick testified during his deposition to confuse the agent. But the key question that I can't get out of my mind was that the agent can't recall if he was given recordings to put on evidence tag. And that's just not believable.
The subject matter. He can recall that he heard it. He just doesn't remember if he received it. That's because we know what really happened is it was taken to Christopher Wray. And I've heard two different versions. Christopher Wray nuked it himself in the FBI lab on orders of Garland. The other is that he told the agent to destroy it. I've got two different FBI.
And just like they nuked even saying the Hunter Biden laptop itself was real. But I don't want you guys to get into the details of this. But first, we'll also talk about where you're going next after that, but you're the lawyer, but just explain this to me. I mean, I've been through it, but you'll know more than I do. But the way it's been described is, back when I got defaulted, normally that's like if somebody doesn't even show up to court, which he claimed you did, which we know you did show up, or you leave the country, or you get caught paying off a judge in the parking lot. We gave them the most extreme discovery ever. It was so wide. They knew they had no case. They weren't about to put it in front of a jury when we would be able to prove that that they altered transcripts and would put stuff in the news and then quote it where I actually said Sandy Hook happened, but this person's saying this, that they would then say that I said that. I mean, we're talking fraud, and now I've got other law firms involved or counter suing them, you know, for due process being violated, you know, process violations. I mean, really a conspiracy. We have them. We've been deposing them. You don't see it in the news because it's so damning. That's why they're panicking. But back when I got defaulted, people didn't believe it. They're like, well, you're having a trial. That's a show trial. But now they did this to Trump some. They've done it to Patrick. They just did it to Mike Lindell, where the judge finds you civilly liable and doesn't let you have a jury trial.
Well, it appears that there's an effort to suppress the evidence. And so Patrick was ready for trial. Patrick had jury consultants present. His lawyers were present. But bizarre things began happening. And so Patrick was advised by his attorney that he fired not to show up to trial. He had some new strategy days just before the trial that he wanted to use. And he told Patrick, don't come to trial. And Patrick wanted to testify. Patrick had witnesses. Patrick flew in John Moynihan, the former agent. Patrick was ready to go. And the associate attorney for the law firm, you know, showed up with a Free Palestine large pin on her lapel. The strategy was changing. Really bizarre things were happening. Patrick was absolutely ready to go. Hunter objected to my appearance on the case. I've been weaponized against. I know way too much about the evidence, and they did not want me to try this case. I said as soon as the case was called, I was ready to try it. He objected to me coming in on the case, and the other attorneys we had ready there said we were ready to try it with Stephanie. We can't try it without Stephanie. And at that point, Peter Tichton was then removed from the case. He had been admitted by the judge. He was wrapping up a different trial, ready to come to this court to participate in this trial. He had been admitted by other judges on this very bench.
Wow, so Patrick finds out it looks like there's sabotage. He brings in, Peter's already there. They won't let him whoever he wants. That's what happened to me. They would sanction or kick my lawyers. I wanted off. And well, so, exactly. And from what my lawyers told me, even if I hadn't shown up to trial, they would still have to put on a real trial. But they didn't even do that.
Yeah. Right. Let me put a footnote on what Stephanie said. I was in 3 days before the trial. I was in upstate New Hampshire. We get a trial. We get a call from the lead attorney in L.A. And L.A. is like a guild. You got to use their attorneys. And he's got this whole new strategy that says, Patrick, you stay back, because they never asked you this, this, and this. They really can't win anything. I didn't like it. There was a long conversation, but eventually he, with all the lawyers, but he sort of imposed. So I said, okay, I'll hang back in New Hampshire. I can get there in a day and a half if I'm needed. But over the next 2 days, my other attorneys became convinced, as I had been sniffing out for about 9 months, this guy was throwing the case. And so on the morning of the trial, I fired him. But I had four other attorneys there, two ready to be the junior attorneys. I had Stephanie, who opened up saying, Judge, we're ready to go to trial today. And I had Peter Tichton coming in another day. So we could have.
So when the media says you didn't show up, that's not true. It would have been pretrial. You weren't even needed. You had all the lawyers, four lawyers, another coming in, and that wasn't good enough.
And a jury consultant. It was all the 2 days of voir dire, the talking to the jury, picking the jury. But I could have come in from, you know.
But what your lawyer is saying is what my lawyer said. When they don't have a case or they're scared of the evidence, that's when they do the default. So defaults are being used. Go ahead.
They do not want these recordings ever being introduced into the public record. Go ahead, Stephanie. Keep going. I interrupted you.
Well, you forgot to mention that your witness was there as well, Mr. Moynihan. Patrick flew in a witness.
He
flew in trial consultants, flew in witnesses.
When I met with the FBI, it was a 20-year DEA agent, retired, sitting in the back seat, who I'd been instructed by this group in the FBI to consider my handler. I'd met with them a few times previously that year. I got reached out from Iran, and I said, I really don't want to go to Iran, but we turned it in, and they said, no, we've checked with everybody. You go to Iran, come back, tell us what you have. I came back with three very important recordings, and in that transaction, the DEA agent was sitting in the back, and he's come out and totally validated my whole story. And he flew all the way to L.A. just to testify. So they did everything. It's all this monkey business to keep any of this going forward. And I could have been there in another.
And by the way, the courts all know, and they know this is political. They know you've been instrumental stopping election fraud and helping overthrow the Venezuelan dictatorship. So this is all deep state countering you.
Correct.
And it's
the bar.
It's just not believable, Alex, that a an agent would be sitting in a car with Patrick, and Patrick would play recordings related to this subject matter, nukes, Iran, Hunter Biden, the law firm that happened, the Sullivan law firm was mentioned on the recording. That's the law firm that came in to represent Hunter in this matter. It's not believable that that agent didn't take a next step to preserve that evidence and put it within a file in the government. It's just not believable. And so his testimony that he didn't recall if he obtained the evidence is just a big concern. And in fact, it should be investigated, and maybe Hunter should get the opportunity post-pardon to testify before Congress or another government body.
But what's that tell us? He doesn't say Patrick's lying that he has recorded. He says, I don't recall. That tells you everything you need to know.
It appears he's in a jam, right? He investigated it, probably wrote reports. He disappeared for a while. He was difficult to find. And then now he has to say, I don't recall, because perhaps he followed an illegal order to destroy the evidence.
So what do you do next? Because, I mean, right here, the judge defaulted you. So what comes next?
Jonathan Turley, we're appealing. Jonathan Turley wrote a beautiful article saying this is the most absurd case he's seen in 30 years and ripe for appeal.
People that don't know, he's a prestigious liberal lawyer.
Right. Go ahead, Steph.
Right. Well, the pardon, Alex, is critical because it's only effective and pertains to the dates listed. And I think you have a copy of it. So I think that the court made a great effort here to prevent any evidence from one being entered in a courtroom, a public courtroom in front of a jury. But two, it prevented Hunter from having to answer questions on the stand post-pardon. Where, again, the criminal culpability could be opened up.
So if he goes on the stand and answers questions about this and lies, his previous pardon doesn't count. So they are contorting themselves into pretzels to prevent that from ever happening. In fact, one of the odd things about my attorney, when he deposed Hunter, he refused to play those three tapes and say, hey, do you recognize the voice? It was very, very odd. We stopped him numerous times. And stop me, Stephanie, if I'm going too far, but we stopped numerous times. I was in guitar saying, are you out of your mind? You got to play this. And he just kept asking questions about where'd you go to school and what's your favorite color and stuff for 8 hours, which made me start suspecting my own attorney. And then that led to 8 months, 9 months later, he shows up 2 days before the trial. He tells me, don't come. I've got this new strategy. They can't win.
No, I got it. And then your lawyer accidentally leaks your cell phone to him. Yeah, I know what it's like. So I want to go to break and come back and get into all the other subjects that this ties into. But you're going to appeal this. Obviously, they don't want this to come out. We'll talk about the options there. But just in general, am I right when I say, talking to your lawyer, I'm going to come back and ask her this, that this is a new thing to misuse the default. I'm seeing it all over the place against patriots. I don't see the right-wingers using it on the left. I don't see right-wing judges acting like this. Is this the secret weapon of judicial tyranny? With our special guest straight ahead, I'm Alex Jones at Real Alex Jones on X and on Rumble at rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live. Be sure to follow us there. We'll be right back with Patrick Byrne. My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones, and the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan, in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us, and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market, and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide.
I never try anything. I just do it.
It's Alex Jones.
Wanna try me?
Apologize for hyperventilating over my guest, but I don't feel sorry for myself what the CIA and FBI did. It's been partially classified that Obama put me under national security threat where they, and I've had FBI agents on that go over the codes and the stuff I don't understand, most of it blacked out. Trump administration sent me a DVD of this about a month in the administration that starting 2013, they did this whole national security operation against me that you do against foreign governments to frustrate me, to try to find criminal stuff, to mess up my operation, to debank me. And it was run out of the field office in Boston, which is the FBI's real muscle. And so if this can be done to me, it can be done to you. And they said at the time on CNN and MSNBC, they said, when we're done destroying Alex Jones and taking him off the air with these attacks, we're going to do it to Tucker Carlson and everybody else. And then you had the weaponization operation task force of Ed Martin, and I went up there and met with them. They called me, and they had six investigations going, smoking gun. We were giving them our depositions, all the stuff we got on them, and they were telling them, preserve your evidence, and then Todd Blanche came in and killed it, and Todd Blanche, and now he's the new attorney general operating as the interim. Trump wants him. Killed it all. And again, if that was somebody else that happened to, I'd be angry about it, folks, and I still didn't get mad at Trump. That was a year ago when that happened. I just said, well, we'll see. And I still try to support him overall, even though when I criticize some of the things he does, like covering up the Epstein stuff, and I'm called low IQ. No, it's hurt us, and it's very sad. President Trump needs to do something about this. And we're going to have our guests on another 10 minutes or so and try to give them the floor to finish up all the big topics they've got. And then breaking at the end of the show, and I knew about this, obviously didn't say anything, but J.D. Vance was in town yesterday on the Joe Rogan podcast. And J.D. Vance has broken with Trump and contradicted him, saying, no, Epstein worked for U.S. intelligence. Yeah, he was in the Trilateral Commission. That's above U.S. intelligence. And Mossad. And that basically there was a cover-up. So J.D. Vance is making it clear that he is not going to go down with the ship on this. This is a big deal. We'll get to that. All right, Patrick and your lawyer, who's been gracious to be here, at Patrick Byrne on X, and Stephanie Lambert, stephanielambert.com. Let's cover other key points of this, what's coming next. And you had some other topics that tie into the election fraud and where all of this is going. And then you are at the center of this. You can give us a prelude. What foreign government or governments is he about to implicate in the big speech tomorrow night about foreign election interference? Patrick Byrne.
Well, that was a lot of questions. Answer to the first question is, I know that Epstein worked for U.S. intelligence under Mossad because they offered to make me Epstein 2.0. That's a story for another day. I believe Trump will implicate China and Iran and our election stuff. But let's go to the exhibits. We sent Daria, and we gave them an order. Daria, could you put up that first?
Yeah, you sent me a bunch of documents about and testimony and election fraud and
okay.
I mean, which one you want to go to
Stephanie,
first?
Stephanie, why don't you lead first?
I'm happy to, Patrick. I did lose video here, so I can't see you all or what's on your screen. But I think, Patrick, you wanted to talk about the Venezuelan piece and how the resumes and LinkedIn profiles, not speculation or something we need an expert to tell us about. The very people that worked for Smartmatic in Venezuela then worked for Smartmatic Sequoia. Smartmatic was the parent, and then Dominion acquired Sequoia in 2009. Well, there was a large team that transferred over to Dominion and worked to implement and transfer everything from Sequoia to Dominion. So this isn't speculation. It's in the resumes from people like Frederico Arnau, A-R-N-A-O. His resume describes how he went to Dominion from Smartmatic Sequoia. He's one of the original Venezuelans. We have Ronald Morales. Right, there's a number of the original Smartmatic. Heider Garcia. So, you know, this isn't something to speculate about. It's clear. It's in the resumes and in the documentation.
Okay, let's start at the bottom, work up. There's Heider Garcia. You go up his resume. It's back from Smartmatic up through Tarrant County. There's Smartmatic. Then he goes to Placer County in California. Then if you keep going up, he goes to Tarrant County. Then he goes to the EAC. And then he's now running elections in Dallas County, this Smartmatic Venezuelan guy. So what the CIA is trying to get Trump to say as well, maybe this Venezuelan technology is polluted and they stole their own elections, but it never got onto U.S. shores. Well, here's all these resumes. Some guy, here's a beautiful thing. Yeah, that thing with the blue in it that you just showed, Alex. Yeah, the second document that you were just showing. This is Coomer being asked in Georgia. Now, 19 people got indicted because of this paragraph. 19 people, including you're my favorite president, got indicted because the grand jury, one of the jurors asked, I'm going to ask you, did you rig the campaign? And he says, no, and I wouldn't have been able to. I don't have the access. I didn't have the ability to any of these vulnerabilities. And it's not me. I mean, counting said, we do not run elections, so I don't have the technical capability to be able to compromise the security and processes that are in place that would be needed to affect an election. He said that to the grand jury in Georgia. And on that basis, Trump and 18 others got indicted. Now let's turn to, there are some other documents that Sheriff Darleaf has released. Why don't you put one of the, that show this, you know, the same guys talking about the VPNs and the virtual machines in the county election equipment. Those are some other things I sent Daria. So he's on the one hand is telling this to a grand jury, the other documentation, which are emails from inside Dominion that Stephanie turned over to law enforcement, and now they're out in the world. Rasmussen has put them up on Twitter today, show They're getting the equipment out of China. They're beefing about, yeah, these things. I don't know if you can zoom in, but on the purple, on what's circled in purple. Anyway, what it says is they're waiting for the, and it's from their Belgrade. Okay, here's their Ronald Morales, a name you should know. We're able to establish VPN from the new virtual machine created to get into the EMS, the election management system. That's the county level system. So they know that that's what they have. Meanwhile, Coomer is telling a grand jury, no, we ship these things. They're airtight. They're gapped. Even we can't touch them. But actually, they know they can come in through VPNs and establish virtual machines. There's another one where they're talking about getting the machines out of China, And go to the last thing from Darleaf, the actual letter from Darleaf. It's a beautiful paragraph. Dominion failed to disclose to Congress that the motherboard is not only made in China, it's tested in China. And it goes on and on.
So here you are proving what you said a decade ago, is they make it in China illegal, ship it to Taiwan, then they ship them to Venezuela. But listen, you dropped the major bombshell. You've been at the center of this. You're saying, you know, from research or from your sources or you're guessing, tomorrow night is to implicate Iran and China. And I've seen China proven in this, and you've been to Iran a bunch. I mean, tell us the latest on this and this big address he's going to do.
Well, I'm not in touch with the president, but I'm in touch with people who are around him and advise him and such. The tension is they, the bad guys, the deep state, the agency, want him to, if he, you know, he can talk about the voter rolls. Because, you know, before you stuff the ballot box, you got to stuff the voter rolls. Because then when you submit a ballot, the system takes each ballot and has to identify one voter. This is okay, I scratch off this voter. So you got to be able to have live access to the voter rolls. And they're going to show that Iran and China had access on November 3rd to our voter rolls across the country. They had access to the information.
And by the way, we have Democrat federal judges trying to block states from having access to the voter rolls that by law are there to stop fraud. So the states can't get access, but communist China does.
Yeah, and they won't turn it over to the DOJ. They'll turn it over to any Mickey Mouse, George Soros NGO, but they're refusing to turn it over. There's like 20 states refusing to turn it over.
Alex, I need to add, I think those documents that you just showed were the documents that I had given to law enforcement from the Dominion discovery files. Now, I was removed from Patrick's case for giving these documents to law enforcement, so I can't comment on those documents. In Patrick's not supposed to, Patrick.
But
and I actually
that.
Have to ask you to
Stephanie
take
was
them
thrown in jail
down.
Over
oh, let her finish. Did you
documents
just
documents under protective order? And I was removed for giving those to law enforcement.
Even though it's national security, Stephanie was thrown in jail by this Indian magistrate judge who worked for Kamala Harris's husband, and whose client. I think we covered this. Her client was Maduro and Venezuela in 22.
I know you're at the center of this. People need to know you're not lightweight saying this, but you were talking over her, and I get we're all doing it. Stevie, did I hear you say that we need to not show these documents?
Well,
no, we can.
Those
can.
Documents were referred to Congress by the sheriff. The sheriff publicly put them out to Congress because he wanted accountability. He said these are national security issues. Now, remember, I can talk about the lawsuit filed.
Well, let me do this. Let me do this, guys. Let me do this. We got to do a part two because I thought I was having you on just about the lawsuit, the default, which is incredibly important. But Patrick, people that don't know, has done everything he says. He's done his books, movies, all about it. And so he's been at the center of exposing this for decades and was the key to helping Mike Lindell and all the great work. Mike's totally vindicated. Now they're dropping the lawsuits against him. So good things are happening. We got to get you back up then in the next few days for an hour just on this, your predictions for the election, the integrity issues. Maybe Friday after Trump does his speech tomorrow, you guys should come in because we can't do this justice now. This is a big deal what you sent me when I'm reading this. This is smoking gun stuff, court records, powerful. So let's talk again soon and let's get that set up. I want to thank you both and we'll be talking to you again soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wow. No wonder they want that guy shut up, just like they want me shut up. And that's why when you back me and support me and spread the word, you're literally doing God's work, folks. And I'm not saying I'm an angel and deserve your support. The work we're doing deserves your support. I mean, I'm not taking on Lilliputians here. I mean, I'm doing man's work. My crew is doing hardcore warrior work. I mean, listen, I don't want you to sing my praises. I don't want you to kiss my ass. I don't want you to give me a kiss on the cheek. I want you to spread the word about what we do, and I want you to support us at thealexjonesstore.com because this dog wants to hunt. I want to beat these people. I'm seeing victory after victory after victory. We've gone from almost nobody being awake to 40% of the public or so being awake now, and it's a global awakening. So I get getting pissed. Stuff isn't moving quick enough. But let me tell you, I don't blow smoke at you. I remember 20 years ago saying we're screwed. We're way behind. We're not way behind, folks. We're in the fight head to head in a collision course right now. And it's going to be your energy and your will and you caring and you not being demoralized that is going to win the day. We roll over to these globalists. We're screwed. Now let me stop right now. Let's just stop. This is huge. J.D. Vance has been against the Iran war and advised Trump. He's gone over and tried to get the deals done. Trump and others have said if he fails, it's his fault. Rubio, the big neocon, who's the guy the establishment Republicans want and in Israel wants, has been staying completely out of his job at the State Department while they hype him up and say how great he is all day. J.D. Vance went on Joe Rogan and was interviewed yesterday. It just dropped, and it's huge. He's come out and said Epstein essentially worked for U.S. intelligence, all right? And he was on the Trilateral Commission, David Rockefeller's stand-in. That's in the emails that just came out that the Congress forced to be released. Imagine the other 50% they haven't released. They released 3.2 million emails, photos, and videos. Most of them were emails, but a couple hundred thousand photos and a couple thousand videos. And that stuff is just sex slaves, murdering kids, pedophilia, arms dealing, everything else. So here's J.D. Vance. The first clip we're going to play. He certainly had connections, talking about Epstein, to the highest levels of American intelligence. He clearly had connections to the highest levels of Israeli intelligence. All right? Think about that. That's J.D. Vance when Trump says, anybody that talks about this is an idiot. You're low IQ. The whole thing's a hoax. And here's J.D. Vance on Joe Rogan saying he clearly had connections to U.S., Israeli, and he should have added MI6. It's all the same at the top. Now, I know we already all know this, and it's all over the emails. But Vance, I guarantee, had to think about this long and hard going on one of the biggest shows and not the biggest in the world saying that. Then Vance continued, Israeli-funded influencers and digital media campaigns aimed at undermining U.S. negotiations with Iran. Israel paying $1.3 billion to demonize, attack Tucker Carlson, myself, and others that said this war would be a failure, that said the Pentagon warned. The Pentagon leaked that the week before because they wanted to get Trump to listen. They said the Straits is going to get closed. They're not going to probably fall. Don't do this. And now we're in this disaster. So we got some good people at the Pentagon. We've got a good vice president. That's why there's all these whisper campaigns that he's really the evil one. He's with Palantir and he's with all these people. Of course, he's powerful and a senator and knows all these groups. But J.D. Vance, out of all the people in there, other than RFK Jr., is all we've got left. And he legitimately is doing this. And now he just came out to separate himself 3 months from the midterms and 2 years from the new elections, the general election, doing this. This is absolutely massive. And then he goes on, we'll play these back to back. J.D. Vance just told Joe Rogan that Trump admin, quote, absolutely screwed up the communications on the Epstein files. Yeah, we've got them. It's terrible. Raping thousands of kids, thousands of videos, hundreds of kids. We're going to release it all. And then they don't release it. And then they say it doesn't exist. And then the Attorney General Bonnie says, oh, I meant there was child porn on there. No, she said it's him and other men raping kids. And they caught her undercover video saying it, too. So you do all that. We want justice. You said you release it. Then you don't. You had Musk break with Trump a great deal saying he's in there. Not anything with kids we've ever seen, but with Lutnick, with all these other people that Trump said it'll embarrass my friends, and he thinks hurt the stock market. So this is J.D. Vance really breaking with Trump. And just like I did, and just like Tucker did, and just like many others did, saying, hey, we overall like you, we fought for you, we know you're better than the Democrats, But this isn't a lesser of two evil stuff. We can't be with Howard Lutnick lying about going to the island and living next door to him, you know, and then all the rest of it, and all the business dealings, them being business partners and saying he only met him one time and then admitting he's a liar and all the rest of this. We can't be with Les Wexner and all this stuff because I mean, I never sold out to the Democrats when they were offering me $50 million a year to work for them before they sued me. And so I'm not going to tacitly halfway sell out by supporting what you're doing. All I've ever gotten is lawsuits and attacks supporting Trump. The Democrats attack me more now than ever, even though I broke with Trump. I didn't break with Trump to get curry with those demons. They're my arch enemies, mortal enemies. I'm doing it because I have morality. I'm not selling out by increment saying you're the lesser of two evils. And I've been proven right about all this. So here are the incredible clips back to back to back. J.D. Vance trying to keep his soul and breaking with Trump. We already played you the compilation earlier. In fact, we'll tag this on to the end again when I post this to X and Rumble. We're live right now. That little compilation of Trump saying you're an enemy, you're an idiot, you're bad, none of the Epstein stuff exists. Remember all that? And then before saying, yeah, it's real, let's release it. Then he finds out it embarrasses a bunch of his friends. He's like, oh my God, don't release it. It's a hoax. Those emails aren't hoaxes. They haven't denied those are real. Here's the clips.
He clearly had connections to the upper, the highest levels of American intelligence. He clearly had connections to the highest levels of Israeli intelligence. In fact, one of the interesting story, one of the interesting things the Epstein saga reveals about, and I try to make this point, is one of the reasons why I'm always careful and I say there are some elements within the Israeli government who don't like our peace process, because there are a lot of elements within the Israeli government that actually do like our peace process. They recognize that this indefinite campaign is not good for them either. And the Epstein thing is interesting because as much as I know, you know, Prime Minister Netanyahu, not a particularly popular person in the United States of America right now, Epstein seemed to be connected to the elements of the Israeli deep state that were left of center. Like, I've always found that fascinating.
Ehud Barak.
It wasn't all like true. He was super connected to the right of center of Israeli politics. America, he was connected across. But I definitely think you have seen this very discreet, extremely well-funded campaign to try to derail the negotiation and try to derail the deal. And, you know, there was, again, there's this Time article that came out yesterday. A friend sent it to me. It's like worth reading, because it lists a bunch of people who have quite literally been paid by a former Trump campaign person who was himself paid by certain elements within the Israeli government. And those people are attacking me viciously for quite literally trying to accomplish the negotiation objective that the president set for the country. So
what is their position? Like, are they attacking you how?
Oh, it's social media posts. It's, you know, they're leaking to reporters. They're attacking me obsessively, saying that we should not be negotiating with Iran. We should just keep the military campaign going indefinitely. And that is their explicit position. And coming after me saying that, you know, people have come after me and say that I'm influenced by Qatar, that I'm influenced by foreign governments, that, you know, I take my marching orders from Tucker Carlson. And they're trying to do is accomplish what the president of the United States told me to accomplish, which is a settlement of this that accomplishes our objectives. Iran doesn't have a nuclear weapon. We have the free flow of oil and gas. And like, I should be clear, I don't actually mind. I don't mind that the, you know, let's say certain elements of the Israeli government want to criticize the deal or have disagreements about the deal. I don't even mind an effort to try to influence, you know, foreign governments try to influence the United States all the time. You know, Israel does it. Other countries do it. It's just sort of the nature of the beast. What bothers me is actually when Americans allow, meaning American leadership, allows that influence to affect their judgment and to affect what they are advocating for. That's what really bothers me. People are always going to try to influence the United States of America, whether they're allies.
Here's Vance saying American leadership is being influenced by Israel. They tried to hire Trump's speechwriter and head of social media with $20 million a year to put out Israeli lies, Likudnik lies, and he went on Tucker 3 weeks ago. This is a big deal, folks. The NDAA, Israel trying to take over our military and intelligence. This is all huge. Absolutely huge. And there's more clips of this, more coming up. When I post this to X and Rumble right after the show, it's going up there. I'll add more in there and the context of Trump. This is so important. Be sure and share this. We're fighting for the heart and soul of our country. From China trying to run us to the Likudniks in Israel, it's not all the Israelis, just like he said. All their former Mossad, almost all their former generals are like, this is insane. Stop this. Stop. He's going to get you into a total war. He's going to go to jail. He wants to stay in power. Don't do it. People that just hate Israel outright don't even want to look at that. That's true, what Vance said. We need to be nice about that and try to give them support in the opposition. We need to end this war. We need to end the war with Russia right now. This is all spiraling. This is all escalating. This is out of control. It's killing the recovery. And please remember, I'm patient zero under attack by the deep state. With the CIA and the FBI system coming after me and Todd Blanche killing criminal investigations that Trump had with Ed Martin that Trump signed off on. He got Trump's permission for that. And then his own attorney general killed it when he was deputy attorney general. That's how serious this is. So spread the word about this show and about this report you just saw. And please support us at thealexjonesstore.com. We have the very best shower filters, the highest rated, cutting out all the garbage. Right now, discount at thealexjonesstore.com. We have a whole bunch of summer apparel t-shirts. Some of these designs I did, like the Betsy Ross flag, and it says Rebel Scum since 1776. We got a bunch of politically incorrect t-shirts as well. And it's all available at thealexjonesstore.com. Less 1984, more 1776. People want the muscle shirts, the wife beaters. We got them for you. So it's all available at thealexjonesstore.com. Make Orwell fiction again. That's my design. And again, most of these, I love that one. Rebel Scum since 1776. That I'm going to wear a lot. So it's all there. And I saw your request for wife beaters. He wants to beat wives. It's a joke, folks. Nice white t-shirt with the Betsy Ross flag on it. A lot of really cool stuff at thealexjonesstore.com, and it's funding this operation. Got shorts out now with the 1776. Very classy. It's all at thealexjonesstore.com. Great ball caps as well. Thanks for all your support. We have the collectible coins about to sell out for the 250th anniversary. Thank you so much. Now, Harrison Smith takes over with the War Room live right now. Right now.
Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast and continue to support us.
That's usually when it matters most, to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program and of Alex's for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. I mean, it is such the top rated, the biggest company, because they're the best. And he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. Here's the part that matters. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, if you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That means even if you didn't originally buy them from us, we'll still take care of you. That's not a promotion. It's not something that's for a limited time only. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call and we'll bend over backwards to help you.
Visit kepm.com/gold to get started, or give us a call at 720-605-3900 and let us help you make room for what matters most.
Spot price of the metal in the ground. Manufacturers, miners haven't even touched it yet. Then they pull the metal out of the ground. They dig their tunnels. They drive it to the refinery. They melt it down, make it into a coin or a bar. That's wholesale. That's usually 3 to 5% over spot. We charge 8% on top of wholesale. When you liquidate, we charge zero.
Buy gold and silver bullion at wholesale. You can look every day what the price is. Type in what's wholesale gold and silver. And then you get it from them with a little processing fee. And then they buy it back for nothing with no cost. That's unprecedented. It's so easy. KPM.com/gold. Get a free telephone consultation email. You can call 720-605-3900. 720-605-3900.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.